Do you think that Peter felt the prayers of the saints? Because here, you know, we don't read that Peter prayed, right?
I believe he was. Or he had been, but I don't read he was here.
He might have prayed. He went to sleep. But the question I'm asking is it possible when we are going through circumstances that there is a comfort in knowing that the saints are praying for me?
Absolutely.
That there are circumstances in our local assemblies that are too great for us, and it's because the enemy is coming in. He's seeking to disrupt the people of God, and we should never forget whatever the difficulties we see locally, that it is not necessarily that brother or that sister, but it's really Herod who is seeking to hurt the people of God and the testimony, the enemy of our souls. And so it's a comfort, it should be, to us when we hear that the saints at Clark are praying for us in Brooklyn and praying for those in Bluefield and wherever you come from. And so there can be maybe this condition of being able to rest, because we know that the saints are praying without ceasing over this matter, and we expect that God is going to deliver us. I think that that was part of the comfort that Peter had, that he could rest in the fact that he had the knowledge that there were those that were praying for him in this circumstance.
I can tell you personally of the tremendous effect that it has on you to know that saints are praying for you. Just from 1968. And I saw horrible, horrible things. I'm sure, I don't know to what extent Emil has seen bad things happen, but I never, ever entertained the idea that I would not come home from Vietnam. It never entered my mind. Never thought about it. I knew saints were praying, and I knew God was greater, and that he had allowed me to go there, and he would take care. I want you just to comment too, Tony. You brought us into verse 7. There was something Peter did not possess, but he needed it. It was light. There was a light. He was sleeping. Get up. Peter's not a cat. He can't see in the dark. The Lord will give what is needed, right? So there's a light that is needed. And look at verse 7. A light shined in the prison. And then you brought us to the fact that these were chains. The chains were on, I'm assuming, his legs or his arms. I don't know which. But they fell. They fell off of his arms. Now look at verse 8. The angel of the Lord girded Peter. The angel of the Lord reached down and put his sandals on. The angel of the Lord took his garment and put it around him. The angel of the Lord picked Peter up and carried him out. It's all wrong, isn't it? Now, there were things that the Lord expected Peter to do. And so the Lord doesn't do for us what he expects us to do. Lord, did you read for me this morning? Did you get my Bible out? Did you get me out and force feed me your word today? And the Lord says, no, I don't do those things. Peter, these are things you should do. Here it was. Gird yourself. Do you think he argued with the angel? Gird yourself. The sandals that are laying beside you, put them on. Your garment, throw it about yourself. And then finally, follow me. Follow me. These were Peter's responsibilities, if you would say it that way. And they are, it divides, if you would, between those areas where the Lord does for us what we cannot do, and where he does not do for us what he has given us the ability to do. We'll see more of it as we go on.
And you know, that's a big thing, especially concerning young teens and everybody here today, actually. Forget your age. It's apathy. And because a lot of times, especially me, I'll speak firsthand, I expect an angel to, when I'm, wake me up and take me out of my trials and all that stuff, but it doesn't work like that. We really have to put on that armor of God. You can't just expect it to be put on you. You have to work for it. You have to put it on yourself. And also, you can't stop. And especially concerning the armor of God, there's one place that's not covered, and that's your back. Don't turn your back to the Lord, because the second you do so, I mean, the wiles of the devil, those fiery darts, everything that he has will come right at you and hit you hard. And that's really where the apathy concerns me. I mean, the second you turn your back to the Lord and don't work for that armor and keep pushing forward and striving to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord, that's the second you fall.
Chuck, as you were saying, that the angel did not tell him, did not put the coat on him, did not put the shoes on him. He told him to do that. Now imagine if Peter said, well, I'm not going to do this. I'm not putting my shoes on. Who are you? You know, imagine if he wasn't in the spirit of subjection to the voice of the Lord. The Lord said, okay, put your shoes on, put your coat on, and follow me. And that is the voice of the Lord to us today.
Amen.
Put your shoes on. We have the shoes in Ephesians chapter 6. Put your coat on and follow me. That is the voice. That is the voice of the Lord for those who are belonging to his kingdom. That is what the truth of lordship is all about. Get up. Yes, it is in jail. Yes, it's interesting that listen, there are chains that Herod would like to put on all of us. There are chains, and he will make sure there are two soldiers around you too. There are chains, whatever your chain is, whatever you are enslaved to. Some people are enslaved to drugs. Some people are enslaved to whatever habits that they have. Here is God, who is the delivering God, who wanted to set you free. All you have to do is, don't take the chain and put them back on you. The chains are I imagine the soldiers still have the chains on them. They only fall from the hand of Peter, not from the hands of the soldier. Sure. And here it is. The Lord saying, I'll set you free. I'll set you free. Just follow me. Put your shoes on. Put your coat on. There's a new creation here. And come after me. I'll get you out of that prison. I'll get you out of this jail. I'll get you out of these chains that are enslaving you for all your life.